Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. Returning to the Roundtable this week is Dr. Michael Bailey, the president of the American Veterinarian Medical Association. The holidays are upon us, and today we'll be talking about pets in the holidays. Do pets really make good gifts? Are there special hazards to pets during the holidays? What about seasonal illnesses or stresses that can impact your pets? And if you're traveling this season, will you take your pets along, and what concern does that bring into play? All of that ahead this morning, or today, on the Florida Roundtable with Dr. Michael Bailey of the American Veterinary Medical Association here on the Florida Roundtable, when we continue in moments on the Florida News Network. Nice to have you with us. Happy holidays.
Ho, ho, ho! And what can I get you, little girl?
Well, Santa, I'd love to get an apple tree and peach tree and a blueberry bush and herbs, too.
That's a lot for the elves to handle.
Oh, Santa, just stop by Quality Green Specialist.
Plants and flowers always make beautiful holiday gifts. Head on over to Quality Green Specialist's new location at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand, or at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Great plants, sustainable products, friendly expert advice.
You know, I thought you'd be into gardening, Santa.
Why?
Because you like to ho, ho, ho.
Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. Call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Selling your house the traditional way takes time. Agents, showings, repairs, fees, it's a hassle. But what if you could skip it all and sell your home for cash fast? At House Buyer Network, we buy homes in any condition. No commissions, no closing costs, no cleaning, no repairs. Whether it's inherited, outdated, or you're behind on payments, we'll make you a fair cash offer within 24 hours. Close in as little as 7 days. Thousands have sold the easy way. Now it's your turn. Call 833-464-0827 for your free no-obligation cash offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Real cash, real fast. That toll-free number once again to call, 833-464-0827.
Nice to have you with us on the Florida Roundtable this weekend. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me, rejoining me, because we talked to him earlier in the year, Dr. Michael Bailey, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Dr. Bailey, good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good seeing you again.
Let's get it. Hope your Thanksgiving was great. We're recording this the week after and leading into the holiday, the rest of the holiday season. I take it you folks up in your neck of the woods had some good eating last week.
Lots. The only problem with Thanksgiving is it's not long enough.
Yeah, we just kind of keep it continuing. I think it's all right. Let's reintroduce you to this audience for those who may not have been with us the last time you were here. You are a veterinarian, you are a specialist in the field, and you're the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Let's talk about Dr. Michael Bailey for a moment.
I am Michael Bailey, as you're saying. I'm a board-certified veterinary radiologist, and I'm a graduate of Tuskegee University in Alabama, a historically black university.
Very good. And how long have you been practicing veterinary medicine?
Oh, Lord, do we have to go there, Bill? I've been practicing now for well over 40 years.
No way.
And there's been a lot of technological changes since then. When I started, we just what we call dip films in a chemical bath. And now everything is done by computers, and we are introducing AI into our practices.
You know, we talked about that.
And when I say AI, I mean artificial intelligence, not avian influenza.
Okay, let's keep it that way, huh? We talked about the technology a little bit the last time you were here. Some major advances that really help you guys out.
Yes, AI is going to make medicine, not just veterinary medicine, a lot more available, I believe, for everybody. However, there are some drawbacks. We have to be sure that everybody uses it wisely. And I tell people, always keep a human in the loop.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, With the chat GPTs and the Groks of the world, we see that they will regularly hallucinate and make up information that they don't have or they create in order to please the user. That would be disastrous in a medical situation.
Yeah, and please, 14-year-olds, don't get upset with me, but I tell people AI is like a 14-year-old. They lie, and you cannot tell that they're lying.
Gosh, that's got to be tough. Have you seen examples of the work that you've seen where this has to be wrong, but there it is, and had to go research it and figure it out?
Yeah, simplest thing to do is you look at those summaries at the beginning of your searches, and you'll be amazed the number of times those summaries are wrong or they are misleading, I will say. And then in medical science, you have to be careful because if it doesn't have the answer, it will make up the answer.
Got to be careful about that. That's got to be dangerous. But like you said, keep a human in the loop, somebody who knows what they're doing, and you ought to be able to get that under control, hopefully fairly quickly.
That's right. Working humans with AI is what is going to make medicine so much more productive for everybody. AI without humans, it is going to be like a scalpel blade in the hands of a willow tree.
Yeah, that would be dangerous. Do you see things, and I've heard rumbles, that AI should eventually be able to cure cancer or other diseases. Are you excited that that's a possibility here?
Yeah, the biggest advantage of artificial intelligence is the fact that it can accumulate data and process it much quicker than the human can. It doesn't do anything better than the human as far as analyzing it, but it can do it faster. So working with the human, it is going to be able to take thousands, hundreds and thousands, maybe even millions of points of information and show you here's the trends and these trends, what they suggest. So yes, that is where AI is going to be a tremendous advantage. But we have to remember, artificial intelligence uses a lot of energy. So when you're talking about your electric bills going up, it may be AI that's responsible.
Yeah, very true. About 45 seconds left in the segment. Real quickly, the mission of the American Veterinary Medical Association. What's the goal that you guys have?
We want to promote veterinary medicine. We want to improve the profession so that we can practice better veterinary medicine for everybody. And we would like there to be access to care for everybody. So we basically are always trying to improve the practice of veterinary medicine. And remember, veterinary medicine is involved in one health, which means we're doing this for animal health, human health, and environmental health.
And we've got Dr. Michael Bailey with us for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. We continue in moments on the Florida News Network.
So I was thinking of getting Dad another tie this year.
A tie? You know he spends more time on the boat than in the office. Maybe get him a new life jacket instead.
Good idea. Besides, ties sink and life jackets don't.
Before your holiday shopping, visit wearitflorida.com for life jacket guidelines and make this holiday unforgettable, because the best gift you can give is life. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back with Dr. Michael Bailey, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. And Dr. Bailey, thanks for taking the time. Good to have you back on the show.
Happy holidays.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And with that in mind, let's talk about pets, our pets, and the holidays. I didn't know this when we talked the last time. My grandson has a boa constrictor as a pet. I'm thinking, dude, what's wrong with you? Snakes and I do not get along, but he apparently loves that.
Well, snakes, everybody has their preference for what they like in animals, but animals teach us a whole lot. So it's good. If you can be involved with an animal in your life, you're probably going to be a more full and enriched individual.
I'm thinking my grandson's the animal if he's keeping snakes around the house, but we'll move on. Let's talk about pets and holidays. For your existing pets, there have to be dangers that become present during the holidays that aren't there for them. What kind of things do folks need to consider as they decorate their homes, start having a lot of folks in, a lot of food and those kind of things, a lot of visitors and whatnot? What are the primary concerns you as a veterinarian would have for folks with pets through the holidays?
Well, you know, the first thing we want to say is we want everybody to enjoy the holidays. So we want to be looking out for dangers for not just our pets, but for anybody who may visit us or anybody we may be visiting. So let's start off with the fact that if we are having people come into our home, are our pets used to those individuals coming in the home? Do we have to do anything to make sure that they are comfortable or safe? And then if we have people coming into our home, or if we're bringing our pet to somebody's home, remember, individuals may not know how to act around your dog or your cat. So you might want to quiz and see if there's anybody who's going to be skittish around them. Foods are a big concern. A lot of foods that we love eating and, you know, maybe overeating, they can be toxic to our pets. So we have to think about what foods are available, and also educating guests or people that we're visiting with that the pets should not be receiving food off of the table. Just simple things like chocolate. Chocolate can be highly toxic to dogs and cats. While we love it, it can be deadly to them. And then we have things that contain artificial sweeteners like xylitol. That can cause hypoglycemia in a pet, and once again, can be extremely deadly. Simple things like the turkey which we eat, the oils and such, and it can lead to pancreatitis. But you know, I don't want to sound like a downer all the time. There are things we can do so that our pets can enjoy the holidays with us. So if you think you'd like your pet to join you for a holiday, you might just take some of that turkey before it's cooked, has not had any seasoning added to it, and cook it separately for your pet so that you have something to offer them while everybody's enjoying that really deep brine turkey or whatever it is you're feeding. And mashed potatoes. You might want to take some mashed potatoes before you've added that butter and that sour cream and those marshmallows and take some out and just have that aside for the pet so they can have it pre-adding what humans love. So there's ways that we can enjoy this. And the other thing is, remember, if you have people coming in and out of your home, the door is going to be open. Is there any chance that that pet, dog or cat, may go running out of that door and get away from you? So you want to be sure that they have a proper place where they can stay so that they're not going to be able to get out of that door. And I strongly recommend you have a microchip in your pet. So if they do manage to sneak out that door, because we do not have eyes all around our head, that they can be identified when they are picked up by somebody.
Makes a lot of sense. And as you were talking, it brought to mind, I am severely allergic to cats. I could not go to my son's Thanksgiving celebration because of being around those cats. So we make alternate arrangements for those kind of things. Do you have to worry about pet allergies too?
Well, you do, but you know, pets have allergies. Humans have allergies. First of all, if you have a pet and you have somebody in the household who may have allergies to them, talk with your veterinarian because they may have ways that you can actually decrease the allergens in that pet so that they will not be a bother to the individual who has allergies. The other thing, during the winter months when we're all indoors and that furnace is going, you may even have a fireplace going, two things here. First of all, pets get dry skin, and that dry skin leads to itching. And that itching can lead to damage in the skin. So you have to keep an eye to see if your pet has eczema or anything. And the other thing is, if there's an open fireplace or a candle, remember, our pets, many of them, not all of them, have tails. and those tails can knock the candle off the table or can be caught on fire by that fireplace or that. So we have to be careful about any open flames around our pets.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, you're pulling stuff off my list I was going to ask you about. That's great. That's why you're here, because you have the knowledge, and I appreciate it. Are there particular things with maybe holiday decorations that could be a hazard or a danger to a pet that you've run across in your career?
Oh, how much time do we have? 2 weeks? Okay.
We'll go with that, yeah.
Well, first of all, let's think about tinsel. Cats love tinsel, and they love playing with it, and they love chewing on it, and they love swallowing it, and that leads to what's called a linear foreign body, and that can lead to a very expensive surgery. So we want to be very careful and possibly even eliminate anything like tinsel if you have cats in the household. Then there are plants. We have various plants, which we all love to see because they're bright and they're cheery and they're associated with the holidays. But some of those plants can be toxic to our pets. Little things like mistletoe, holly, even the pine needles on the tree. If the pet's chewing on the branches of the tree, those needles can perforate or at least irritate the GI system. So we have to be careful about many of those plants. We all hear about poinsettia. Poinsettia actually will probably just cause irritation, which will still be of a concern. However, lilies can be deadly toxic. So we don't want to have lilies around, or we want to make sure that our pets do not get into the lilies.
Electrical decorations, lights on trees, other blow up stuff outside, lighted things outside, other things in the home. Major issues with pets there?
Pets, particularly puppies, love chewing on electrical cords. Cats love chewing on electrical cords, and that can lead to electrocution, and at the minimum will lead you to taking your pet to the emergency room. And that's the last place you want to be during a holiday, in an emergency room. So we want to do a lot of what we call preventive medicine, trying to pet-proof or even baby-proof our houses, because a lot of things we talk about are the same concerns we'd have with a newborn crawling on the floor around us. Mm-hmm. So we all want to be careful about what we're getting into. And then lights. It's a good idea. Use battery-powered lights if possible instead of having those that have electric cords on them.
Makes a lot of sense. Wrapping paper, tape, ribbons, those kind of things?
Oh, they love getting into it, and you never know what the wrapping paper is made with. But you know, we're talking about everything on the inside. Our pets have to go outside to relieve themselves, many of them. You know, the cats may stay indoors, but the dogs have to go outside. So we have to be careful, particularly if we're in a cold climate. You're in a nice warm one, but I'm up in a nice cold climate where there's snow today. Be sure that they're not outside too long. Our pets are susceptible to cold just the way we are. Even if they may be a long-haired dog, some people say, oh, the dog has a nice long hair, but do they have an undercoat on them? Because there's different kinds of long hair. And even then, they should not be outside for prolonged periods of time because they're susceptible to frostbite. And then if they're walking in water or the water that has the de-icer and whatnot, that can affect their pads. Your pets love being outside. There actually are boots that they can wear. And there's musher's wax, which you can put on their pads to help keep the pads from cracking. And, you know, we've been talking about pet animals such as dogs and cats, but this is the same thing for large animals like horses and whatnot. They're standing in water a long period of time. Their hooves can crack. So we have to be careful about temperatures and make sure that they have a nice, high, dry place so that they can keep themselves high and dry. Going to an old saying.
Something we might tend to think about around the 4th of July, but New Year's comes on the heels of Christmas. Fireworks, other noises and events and pets, what kind of cautions or thoughts do you have there?
Oh, our pets are very sensitive to Sam. You know, is it so much that they're sensitive or they're very acutely aware of sound? So the kinds of things which we recommend there, first of all, see if you can acclimate your pets to any of these things coming along the way, but it also comes down to you may want to have them in a room which has less noise, particularly if you have a lot of people coming in and outdoors opening all the time. And you may want to have some kind of a sound generator. I like turning on my radio so they can hear talk radio, so that there's something that's covering up that noise. And there actually are these sound generators now that are supposed to be soothing to the pet. If you have a pet that is really sensitive, there are some medications, some over the counter, some which you can get through prescription. So talk to your veterinarian and they'll have a lot of suggestions on how you can help that pet get through these noisy periods of time when we're getting coming to. And you know, there's one other thing while we're talking about giving pets as gifts. I personally don't recommend surprising somebody with a pet. You can surprise them saying, hey, we're going to get you a pet and we're going to get this together. But don't just go out there and buy the pet and hand it to somebody. You want to be sure that they are comfortable with that pet and that they can bond from the very first moment.
Yeah, if my grandson decided to give me a snake, we'd be fighting.
So he should talk to you first.
Yeah, exactly. And he would know the answer is no. Anyway, are there pets that, again, it'll vary depending on the family, that are particularly good as gifts or more adaptable as a gift to a family or things that they should really avoid?
It really depends on the family member you're giving the pet to and the environment which they are. Why do I say that? I don't know that you want to have a St. Bernard in a small studio apartment someplace. So you want to kind of tailor it to the location that that individual is going to be going with. But if you really want to give somebody a pet, and remember, fish are a wonderful pet, you might talk to them and see what are their interests. What would they feel comfortable taking care of? Because a pet is an individual that requires a lot of care, but they give a lot of love. So you want to be sure that you can have that exchange between the pet receiver and the pet themselves.
Got a couple minutes left here. What about those people with their existing pets? And you mentioned it earlier, traveling with pets, concerns they need to have about that.
Oh, well, the first thing is if you're traveling with the pet, make sure you've called ahead so that you can be sure that your pet is going to be welcome wherever you are going. If you are driving with your pet, you want to plan rest stops so that they can get out, relieve themselves, and have a time to stretch. It's a good time for everybody. You want to be sure you have a go bag ready. And you know, when we're talking about go bags, let's talk about a minute for emergency preparations. But you want to have in that bag the essentials for your pet. That means a leash. That means a water bowl. That means a supply of food. Even if you say, you know, I'm only going to take a small supply because I'll buy more when I get there. Foods are not absolutely the same in every bag. So you want to at least take some food. So, of course, they could eat on the trip. And so you can do a slow transition to that new bag you may be buying at the other end. And once again, I strongly recommend having that chip implanted in your pet. So if they get away at a rest stop or something and they're found, you can identify them.
Dr. Michael Bailey with us. We continue in moments on The Roundtable.
Need to sell your house fast? Whether you're facing foreclosure, stuck with bad tenants, or just ready for a fresh start, House Buyer Network can help. We buy homes as is for cash. No fees, no commissions, no repairs. Get a fair cash offer in just 24 hours and close in as little as 7 days. Call 833-464-0827 now for your free no-obligation offer. That's 833-464-0827. House Buyer Network. Fast cash, no hassle.
You're running late. The light turns yellow. You speed up, swerve around a slow driver, tailgate to make up time. It might feel like driving, but it's reckless driving. In Florida, reckless driving is the number one cause of fatal crashes. Speeding, ignoring stop signs, failing to yield. They're not shortcuts. They're risks. Stay alert. Drive defensively. Keep your distance. And when tempers flare, don't escalate. Take a breath and arrive alive. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Continuing with Dr. Michael Bailey, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, talking about our pets and the holidays, and we'll see how far we can make this go and dig into some more information if we have the opportunity. But we were talking traveling with pets. I've done it primarily with dogs and had one get loose at a rest stop one time. That was a scary, scary situation. But what are your recommendations for folks as they travel?
Well, once again, if you're traveling, you want to be call ahead and make sure that you are welcome with your pet wherever you go. So if you're going to a family member, be sure that they're going to welcome your pet. If you're going to a hotel, make sure it's a pet-friendly hotel. And I'm going to extend that just a little bit, because even though we're talking about holidays, fun, and family, this time of year we can also have weather events. So we want to be sure that if we're someplace where we could have a weather event or we lose power or something else may happen, have pre-planning. Everything is best to pre-plan. So if you have to leave home quickly, you already know where you can go safely with your pet. And that go bag I mentioned for traveling, mm-hmm. that go bag, you need to have that ready. And that should include the medications which they may need.
All right. Very, very good. As we go through the holidays, there are various things that could stress pets. Are there things folks should look for as stressors for their pets, or signs that the pet is being stressed that maybe we wouldn't recognize otherwise?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is changing of routine is probably one of the most stressful things for pets. They get very used to having a routine. So you want to be sure, first of all, that even if you're going someplace and you're used to walking your pet at a certain time of day, and remember, we may have time zone changes, that you want to try and maintain that walk and that exercise so that they know what to look forward to. Also, if you're going to go someplace where there's going to be new noises, say you've been in a very quiet pastoral environment and now you're going to be next to an airport, you want to do something like maybe play some airport sounds and whatnot so that they get used to it beforehand and you're there. And you know, probably one of the best things for a pet who may be getting a little bit uncomfortable is rubbing their belly. They always know things are safe when you're there petting them and rubbing their belly. But if you do have a pet who gets anxious because of traveling, talk to your veterinarian. Don't forget, your veterinarian is a great source of information about your pet, because they know your pet and they can come up and give you added suggestions, including if there are any over-the-counter or prescription medications that they may recommend, and have a new toy. So when you're traveling, you know they like something, have a new toy with them. So they say, oh boy, we have something to play with. And be sure you spend time playing with them. They don't want to feel neglected over the holidays any more than you do.
Interesting. My Chihuahua Terrier mix has one toy. It's the only toy he will play with. When it was destroyed, I had to get an exact duplicate. He won't play with anything else. But he likes routine, as you said.
Yep. Sometimes it's best if you know there's a toy that they like, have a spare one in the closet in case it gets worn out or lost.
There is no doubt. We had another dog destroy his. So they got along as well as dogs, but when it came to the toys, that's where that went. What about general seasonal care? Whether you're in a warm environment or a cool environment, various viruses and the things going around, general seasonal care for the winter for your pets.
Well, let's start with something simpler before we get into molecular biology. If you have a pet that has a long hair, but not even just long hairs, grooming. You need to groom your pets. You need to get that excess shedding hair off of them, which will help allergies, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if they are a long-haired dog or cat, they need to be groomed because actually you may think that they're protected against temperature because of their hair, but if it's matted, it no longer becomes a protection. So we want to be sure that we have good grooming habits, and they like the attention also, so it benefits both.
Okay, very, very good. Other things of concern throughout the cooler seasons of the year?
Probably the biggest thing is when it comes down to, I said we wouldn't get into molecular biology. I lied. We do have viruses and such, which our pets are susceptible to also. Let's start with something simple. The common cold, which humans get, our pets get them too. Now, they can't give us the common cold, but we can give them the common cold. So that doesn't mean you have to be concerned, particularly if it's a healthy pet. But if you have a pet that has a respiratory problem or a heart problem, remember, if they start sneezing, you want to keep an eye and maybe even take them in to be checked out by your veterinarian just to make sure there's nothing. And then, whereas we have human flus, there are canine flus, which do the same kind of things to dogs, but they are specific to dogs. And if you have a high concentration, let's say everybody's bringing their pets to the house, you realize that high concentration increases the chance that one pet may have something that it's going to give to all the others. Kennel cough. There are vaccines out there for kennel cough. If you're traveling, I recommend that you talk to your veterinarian about kennel cough. And there are two different kinds of kennel cough vaccines. So talk about which one is best for your pet, for your circumstances. So yes, there are diseases that we can spread around in our pets, and there are things we can do to reduce it, if not eliminate it. But just remember, like us, we can't prevent everything. So we just want to keep a good eye. And if your pet has any already pre-existing health condition, keep an eye to see if they're looking more worn down than usual. And do you need to pay attention and take them to somebody just to have them checked out?
Sounds good. Before we get too far away from the holidays and pets, what about that family that does get a pet, acclimating the pet to the new home, whether it came from a shelter or from a breeder or from wherever? Getting the pet used to the new home, what's the best way for folks to do that?
Well, I know I recommend having one place where the pet can become comfortable. I do recommend using crates so that they have some place that they can call home. And you know, when I say crate, it doesn't mean they're locked up in this thing. It's someplace you can leave the door open, but they know if they go in there, that is their safe place. So have some place that they feel is safe. And then play with them. Get them used to being called. Get them used to being pet. And you do not want to have a lot of loud noise, particularly when they're newly introduced to the house, because you do not want to be stimulating all their senses at one time. You want them to realize you're a safe individual or a safe family for them to come if something is wrong.
Kids were small. We adopted a retired racing greyhound. Couldn't have asked for a better pet. Had the crate in the corner where he had been raised his entire life. That was his comfort zone. Sadly, my youngest was a toddler, and the dog was so loving, he kept knocking the toddler down, loving on the kid. So we had to deal with that in the process. But I think that's great advice.
Yeah, but kids bounce to a point.
Yeah, that's true.
To a point.
Still today. Let's talk about, I see a lot of ads and hear a lot of ads, even on radio, for certain types of pet foods and what pet foods are best for particular types of pets. What do you have you seen and what do you recommend to your patients?
Well, I'm not going to promote any particular brand of food, right. But I do not recommend raw diets. There's a lot of people who like them, but raw diets have a lot of concerns. We mentioned at the top of the program, avian influenza, and we were laughing at that point. But avian influenza has been found in many of these raw foods. And unfortunately, we have had cats who have died from eating raw food because there was avian influenza virus in the raw food.
Wow.
So I recommend to have foods that are at least minimally processed, which means that they're heat treated so that the viral particles, they can still be there if they're viral particles, but the virus itself is destroyed. There are a lot of good foods out there. You have to decide what your pet prefers. And once again, talking to your veterinarian, they will discuss nutrition. That I don't think you need to add a whole lot of supplements to today's foods, just because the fact the nutrition companies do pride themselves on putting what is necessary for the pet in there. But once again, you talk to your veterinarian and they will talk to you about what food is best for your age pet and the activity level of your pet. And then you might just want to try different foods and see if they change. But I'm going to go back to this. I do discourage people from feeding raw diets or exclusively red meat diets, because exclusive red meat diets do not have the nutrition that is necessary for our pets.
Do you have a recommendation as far as whether a food should be dry or wet?
I have concerns both ways. A lot of pets actually enjoy the dry foods, and it does help keep their teeth clean. And I think you can supplement it with foods that are additionally prepared for them. In other words, not table scraps, but if you want to take some chicken and cook it up without any spices and put the chicken meat in there, there's nothing wrong with that, but not the chicken bones.
Right.
Wet diets in male cats particularly is felt to be an advantage because it helps their urinary system. However, it also has a negative effect on their teeth. So I think a combination wet and dry, once again, your veterinarian is going to know what's best for your individual pet.
So they have the opportunity to get to know the animal, get to know. I've had dogs that were very sensitive to different types of foods, and you had to keep them on a very strict diet. So it makes a lot of sense.
That's right. And there's a lot of choices in there that will help acclimate what that particular pet needs. I mentioned teeth several times. We do have to realize that periodontal disease probably appears in all of our pets by 3 years of age. And part of that is because of the fact it's below the gum line, so we don't see it. Mm-hmm. So you do want to have routine dental care no matter what kind of food you are feeding.
All right, very good. Dr. Michael Bailey with us, president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. We continue. Pets, holidays, probably some technology before we're done.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
This holiday season, don't let fraudsters steal your cheer. Scammers love this time of year because they know we're all busy and distracted, so it's crucial to stay alert. From fake emails to fraudulent charity calls, scammers are on the prowl. They may try to trick you into giving away personal information or money. Remember, if an offer sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So stay alert, stay informed, and stay protected. Here are a few tips to keep in mind. Never share your personal information or financial details with unsolicited callers. Verify the legitimacy of any charity before making a donation, and Always double-check the authenticity of any online offer. Protect yourself and your loved ones from holiday scams. For more information and tips on how to stay safe, visit aarp.org/flfraud. That's aarp.org/flfraud.
Thanks again for joining us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. As we head you into the holidays, Dr. Michael Bailey with us, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. And pets, travel, the holiday stresses, things, do's and don'ts for caring for your pets through the holidays. We talked travel, Dr. Bailey, but something we didn't hit on, traveling by major conveyance, whether it be train, airplane, boat, whatever. What are your recommendations there?
Well, remember, anytime you cross a state line, you should have a health certificate. So once again, something you've been hearing me say is go visit your veterinarian and see if a health certificate is required. And if it is, that health certificate has to be issued by an accredited veterinarian. Not all veterinarians are accredited veterinarians, but your veterinarian should be able to direct you towards an accredited veterinarian, that's USDA accredited veterinarian. Now, I talked about state lines. So yes, state lines, you should have a health certificate, but if you go across international borders, so even if you're in the North America, Canada, or Mexico, you should have a health certificate. So whether you're traveling by plane, train, car, bicycle, if you're crossing an international border, your pet should have a health certificate issued by an accredited veterinarian. And remember, when we're crossing into some countries, I'm going to mention like Mexico at this point, Mexico is a great partner, but Mexico has New World screwworm right now, which is a worm that actually enters the skin through opens wounds and eats raw flesh, as nasty as it sounds, and we are trying to prevent it from entering into the United States. So your pet is going to have to be inspected before it can come back into the United States.
Oh, wow. We're looking, I'm assuming, still in some countries, depending on where you're going or how you're going, quarantines are part of that.
They are. Usually, once again, talk to your veterinarian, and they will get on to the USDA website and find out what the requirements are for whatever country you go for. But yes, there's countries such as England, for example, the UK, which is rabies-free, and they do not want the chance of any rabies coming in. And in order to return back into the U.S., your pet does have to be over 6 months of age and has to be been vaccinated for rabies and has to have an RFI chip in it, because that's how they identify that this pet has been vaccinated, because we no longer have canine rabies in the United States, and we're trying very hard to prevent it. So we're trying to do a full prevention of disease. And rabies, I ask people, why do we vaccinate pets for rabies? And invariably, they say to protect the pet. Well, they're right. But the most important thing is we're trying to protect people.
That makes a lot of sense. And again, if you've got a pet who spends significant time outside, wildlife doesn't have the benefits the pets do of the veterinary visits and the like, and that kind of protection.
That's right. And a lot of people are I see these memes now of raccoons. People are getting real friendly with raccoons. I warn you, raccoons carry rabies. And if they're very friendly, you have to be concerned. Why are they getting so friendly? My recommendation is don't play with the wildlife.
Or feed them.
I consider that part of playing with. So, yes, you can feed them in it. Feed your bird feeder. Keep food in your bird feeder. But don't go out there. And I saw something the other day, people there, a bear in a small town, and people were there trying to feed it. Wild animals are wild animals. Please protect yourself. And by protecting yourself, you're protecting that wild animal, because if they attack a human, they're probably going to be destroyed.
Yeah, that's very true. Cautions for your pet as you're in an area where wildlife might be prevalent? Anything in particular there?
Walk your pets on a leash. That is probably one of the most important things. And we go out on trail walks and whatnot, and we love to say, oh, this is a great place for Fido to go running free into the woods. Remember, you never know where it is that they're going to run into, whether they can run Pennsylvania, they can fall into a mine subsidence area where there's been a hole. You want to be able to keep an eye on your pet. So keeping them on a leash is probably the best way of keeping them safe. Once again, have that RFI chip in there. And make sure that it is registered. I've said RFI chips, but I haven't said make sure that chip is registered so that your name and your phone number is in a secure database. And usually the police, the fire department, the rescue leagues, as well as veterinarians, have a reader for those chips.
So as far as registering it, is that something you do online? Is that something your vet does when you have the chip put in the pet?
Your vet can do it for you, or they'll give you the site in which to do it, but your veterinarian has to put it in. They'll make sure the chip is working. Usually your veterinarian will go ahead and register it for you, but they may give you the website. Please go in. And if you move, they'll give you the site. So if you move, you can go in and update your information.
That would be a key, and something that, like, people don't unregister to vote when they move from state to state. They may not think of that with their pets either. That makes sense.
Correct. So we want that pet to be reunited with their loving family.
That is the name of the game. Well, we're leaning toward the tech, and when we continue in just a moment, let's talk about the artificial intelligence or other technology that you're seeing that is improving the ability to keep our pets healthy and thereby keeping their humans healthy also. All of that still ahead on this week's edition of the Florida Roundtable here from the Florida News Network. You'll find our podcasts, top of the page, at BillMick.com.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you test and inject daily, you may qualify. Call U.S. Med now to learn more.
800-229-5110. 800-229-5110. 800-229-5110. That's 800-229-5110.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
This holiday season, give a gift that truly saves lives. A life jacket isn't just smart. It's essential for every boater you love. Whether they're cruising Florida's lakes or fishing offshore, safety should always come first. Before your holiday shopping, visit wearitflorida.com for life jacket guidelines and make this holiday unforgettable, because the best gift you can give is life. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida.
Every time you step on the gas, you're making a choice. Speeding might save seconds, but it can cost lives. In 2024, speeding was the third leading cause of fatal crashes in Florida. Speed limits are there to protect you and others. They never exceed 70 miles per hour on Florida highways. Know the limit, obey it, and slow down when it changes. Slow down. Speed kills. Let's all arrive alive. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath. Patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Dr. Michael Bailey with us, the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, as we're talking pets, the holidays, the cooler months of the year, and where we go from here. We promised you some technology talk. I think we're going to go there as we conclude the show today. We talked about AI earlier in the show. We're seeing major advancements there. Other technological advances that are coming that are helping folks out along the way?
You know, medicine is becoming a technological science. realize that I told you how long ago it was that I graduated from veterinary school, but then digital computer was a pencil in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now a digital computer fits in your computer, in your telephone, and it's more powerful than what they put a person on the moon with.
That's true.
So what kind of technology? Well, we've already hit on artificial intelligence, but we have to be careful when we're using artificial intelligence. I've already mentioned there does have to be a human in the loop because AI does hallucinate. It will tell you lies. So you have to be aware enough and educated enough to recognize when those lies are coming in. The other things that are happening, you may go into your veterinarian's office, and instead of the veterinarian or somebody there taking notes on what they're saying, they're just talking with you. Why? Because they may have a digital scribe in the room, and they'll tell you beforehand, the digital scribe taking notes for them. And they could even stop and say, please add reference number 229 to it. And that means what form they want to be able to send you out with. And they'll have all those notes in there, and the forms are all printed out when you go out there. That is significantly reducing the amount of work that the veterinarian has to do in the room so they can spend more time with you and the pet. And then we come down to the healthcare of the pet itself. The wearables, which everybody's used to, such as the watch and the rings that keep track of your own heart rate, they have those for pets now. They're on the collar. I even saw a chip the other day that is the size of a grain of sand, which can keep track of heart rate, respiration, as well as multiple chemical functions. So we are getting to the point where we can keep track of the health care of our pet, such as the glucometers, so we know what the glucose level in our diabetic pet is so that we can better monitor their diabetes. These are all, they're no longer science fiction. They are here. And we're waiting for the prices to come down so we can expand them into our pet healthcare environment.
You know, you mentioned your pencil and paper being your digital work. Sounds like the technology is a far cry from the mood rings we saw in the 1970s.
Then again, it may be coming back to that because these devices can have color changes on you. So you can just look and say, we better look and see what the precise reading is there. But, you know, change of color tells you there's a problem coming.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Real quickly, and I hadn't asked you this before, is there a public facing website from the American Veterinary Medical Association that folks may be able to go and get these kind of tips or look at these?
You can get on avma.org, and there's a whole lot of public-facing, open-access material on a lot of topics, including on travel, including on general health care, vaccinations. Another site which you might want to go to is the Animal Hospital Association of America, or AHA, and they have a lot of things like vaccine protocols and whatnot, so which can be another story for us to talk about. How about vaccinations in your pet? So there are a lot of very good sites that veterinarians have, but avma.org has a lot of information and will steer you to those, including accredited veterinarians.
Very nice. Speaking of which, and you've mentioned it several times through the show this morning, having that veterinarian for your pet, ensuring health for the pet, but also for you and the family.
Right. Well, here's one of the things. Veterinary health care, everybody talks about, has gotten expensive. So I first want to say the expense of veterinary health care, have to remember, we use the exact same materials they do in human healthcare, but in many cases, you do not see the price in human healthcare, whereas unfortunately, the third-party payer is the owner.
And we have to leave it there. Dr. Michael Bailey, thanks again. A pleasure having you on the roundtable.
My pleasure, anytime.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on News and Public Affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.